Action. Welcome to Live at Military Creator Con in Arlington, Texas. And I am here with the incredible Travis Partington.
Good morning, Shay.
Good morning. And we have, gosh, I don't even know how many years we've known each other.
Since before COVID.
Has it really?
Yes.
Yeah, so at least six.
Yes.
At least six. My goodness. You know, I just got to say this before we get diving in here, because it's such an emotional time to be here for me.
Sure.
Because to think about where we were 6 years ago.
Just on Zoom, like, or Facebook Live, you know?
Yeah, well, and Military CreatorCon was part of PodFest, right?
Yeah,
and now here we are in its own amazing three-day entity. And just to see how much it's grown and flourished and everything's come to fruition, it's just been such an experience to be here. Yeah.
It's amazing. Like, we have our own thing now.
I know. I know.
Nothing against PodFest or anybody else.
Right.
We got our own sandbox to play in.
This is fantastic. So, Travis, tell us what you are up to in the world these days.
So, I'm a dad. I work a full-time job in Boston. And then I do my show, Oscar Mike Radio, my podcast I've been running for quite some time. And then I'm kind of in costume, but I'm in my, you know, capacity as the host of the Abington Veterans Muster TV program that I created for the town of Abington.
Wow.
So I'm going to be talking about that at the stage at 1 o'clock today.
Oh, fantastic.
So, and that's done through Community Access Media, not a podcast.
Okay. And how did you get involved in that?
So the veteran service officer for the town of Abington was like, hey, I want to engage with people in Abington very focused, very succinctly. And he thought about doing a podcast. He's like, no, I really don't want to do that. And he's like, well, you know, you do podcasting. You could do a TV show. And I'm like, there's two different animals.
Mm.
And I really didn't want to do it at the time because I'm like, well, I do podcasting. But I got into it and I started learning about how TV works and what it takes to make a TV show and then how to take a TV show and bring it to the people you're trying to reach. And I learned so much more and it made me a better podcaster. It opened up so many doors in the TV side. I wanted to share that, hey, maybe you're nothing against Adam Bird's probably like, you know, going to pull my little hair I have left. But maybe you're a podcaster who just, I can't do this. I can't afford the equipment. I can't afford the time. You can go into a community access studio, record your show, get support, and still get it out there to a huge number of people.
Wow. Is this something that only your town has, or is it something that you think all places?
Great question. I'm glad you asked. So in 1984, we could do a whole like series
on
the legal side of how this all came together.
Sure.
But in 1984, the Cable Communication Act was passed. And what that said is, hey, if you have you pay those subscriber fees on your cable bill, part of those fees fund what's called a public access station. So if you're in a subscriber area where it's concentrated to 3,500 people, they have to have a manned studio for public access. So people like community access leaders, the Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, nonprofits, other people can use this, you know, resource to tell their story. So it's nationwide. Like there's 8 community access stations here in the Arlington, Dallas, Fort Worth area.
Wow.
And of course, like other things, you know, the bigger municipality, the bigger resources. But still, if you're not having to buy microphones, cables, lights, cameras, you can just go to the studio, tell your story, you're halfway there.
Gotcha. So how does the common man or someone who has no idea where to start to find out about that, what do they do to get to their own local?
Like I tell you, like I tell my thing, there is a directory you can look for. A community access station. It's a very simple Google search, or you can go to the actual directory, and I have all the information. And then where it really differs from podcasting is, you know, TV aligns to a formatted standard. They want certain things in your show before they will move forward with it. And it's not a bad thing, but it's because, you know, it's like all TV stations are kind of formatted the same way. You got to have an idea for your show. You got to know who you're going to do your show for. Then you have to have a clear beginning, middle, end.
Mm.
And then you can have certain things, elements inside that, but it has to be very clear. What your intro is for your show, the subject of your content for that day, who you're trying to reach, what the call to action is, and then the closeout. And it has to be for everyone. And it's actually good because a lot of podcasters that I've worked with just talk for a half hour with no real direction. Once you have that, then they look at your show. They'll ask you about your branding choices. Like, you know, you have more hair than I do, and it's wonderful, by the way. But let's just say that your gold seems to be your color. Mm. They could align the lighting and the backdrop to match your mood, color.
Yeah.
So it's not one of those green screens you do on Zoom that kind of fades in and out.
Yeah.
It makes you look better. And the other thing, too, is if you're doing this, it's much easier, and it's really weird. It was easier to get certain guests to come on a TV show than it is a podcast.
Really? Interesting.
Well, local politicians, for example,
love
coming on these things.
They have the gift to gab, don't they?
They will make time to come to your TV show. But also, you know, if you're, you know, you have a business and you want to talk to another business owner or somebody about collaboration, they will come and talk with you on a TV show because they see the lights, the cameras, like we are now.
Yeah.
It looks and feels like a true studio production. It's a real different feeling. So it works out real well. Again, for somebody who maybe podcast is not their thing. Or I tell somebody, Shay, hey, maybe you are a podcaster. You'll pick up things aligning to a TV format that will improve your show.
I love that. You know, it's fascinating because I had considered changing my podcast into a show as well. But I didn't even know where to look. I had no idea. So I love this information. So is there, my show itself has a format, but if somebody doesn't have a format, what advice would you give them?
So when I first started this show, this is right before ChatGPT
started going.
So I had to go to the library. I had to get online and look at, you know, how TV formats things. You know, I had to learn a little bit about FCC rules. Now I have this thing called a prompt. I've created a prompt. And I'll share it with anybody who wants it, that you put the prompt in, ChatGPT or Gemini or whatever, and it will, you tell it what you want to do, and it will go out there and pull in the information you need to take to the station manager.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, well, you're not really doing it the right way. Well, like, no reason to make this harder than it already is. You know, let the station manager look at that and help you tune it to get an outcome you want.
Okay.
Smarter, not harder.
Exactly. Well, that's what AI is for, right?
Yeah.
I love that. Are you doing daily, weekly?
We do monthly, and we found it works really well because the show airs every week, and then this station, almost all of them do, have a YouTube feed.
Okay.
And then we take that YouTube feed and embed it into the Veteran Service Officers Town website. So there's a certain section, and I'll have it in my presentation this afternoon, where you can see everybody I've talked to over the last 2.5 years.
Wow, that's awesome.
So
that's awesome.
Something different, something unique, not anti-podcast. Calm down, Adam. Calm down, James. But just something different for the, you know, person who's trying to get their brand out there.
Well, you're still creating, whether it's
true,
right? Or just voice only or video or on camera or on your TV show. What made you really make that deciding factor that it was like, you know what? I just have a face for TV. I need to go on there.
I have a face for radio. I am a part ogre. It's still a valid medium.
Yeah.
And the thing is, yes, I love podcasts. I love the disciplined craft of vocal work. But when you can understand how to, like, I understand why they did the lights this way for our studio. I'm seeing the multicam effort up there, and I love it. When you can kind of understand that and go and say, yes, I either have a TV show or I've been on a TV show, you're going to be able to have guests and do more with them. But also, say if some news station sees you as a veteran creator, okay, he's got TV experience. He or she's going to know not to curse. They're going to dress right. We can tell them, hey, you know, there's your center frame right there. Watch that frame right there. You're going to know all that. You're going to have a little bit of a different edge than other people.
I love that. So what doors of opportunities have opened since you've...
I've been on C-SPAN 4 times as a creator and talk about my show and this show. I've gotten to do other TV work. I've gotten to do a lot of vocal work in the TV realm. And, you know, I get asked to do op-eds on TV all the time.
Wow, that's fantastic. I just want to shift gears a little bit because
sure.
We are here at Military Creator Con.
Yes.
So I want to talk about that, if you don't mind.
Whatever you want.
Yeah. So how important is it to be at events like Military Creator Con?
I think it's now more than ever, we have to do this. We can no longer, like my generation of veterans before us, as you know, were like, they were in their smoky VFW or American Legion halls, nothing wrong with that. And a lot of life passed them by, relationships, support, just camaraderie, just simple ball busting on a Friday night, right? And we are learning that if we as veterans do not band together, and more importantly, the people who support veterans do not come together, Shay, there are entities out there that will absolutely take things away from us or choose not to support us. And then you're a creator, I'm a creator, right? You and I both know if you go on certain platforms, there's no military or veteran category for us.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Nothing.
Right.
So this to me is like the first like line of sand. And it's kind of like, did you read Dr. Seuss when you were a kid?
No.
All right.
Okay. I was deprived.
Darn. Well, there's this story, right, where it's Horton Hears a Who.
Okay.
And it's this little small speck of dust. And this little one says, you know, guy says, we are here. We are here. This is our way of saying we are here. Mm. We are here. We belong here. And you know what? We're not going away.
Mm, I love that. I love that. You are seen and you belong.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I build a community. I'm a community builder.
Yes, you are.
And it's just such a, again, because we talked about it in the beginning, it's just such a beautiful thing to see people come together, like-minded, like-hearted, purpose-driven people who are really focused on, you know, connecting. Feeling like, you know, hey, you might meet someone for the first time and 2 days later you're walking away, you're besties, right? So I think there's something to be said about that, what you said about the in-person, because we have grown since 2020 more into the virtual world. So as that in-person, and you're having guests, I'm assuming, at your studio in person.
Yes.
Is there something that's different that you get in that in-person, like conferences, like the interviews at your studio, than you do, whether it's on Zoom?
I just find that the guest is easier to focus on, and they're more in the moment.
Mm.
Because it is a studio. There's no cell phone. Cell phones are off. There's no, you know, dog barking in the background. They have to be present, too, because it's a soundproof studio. The lights are on. And, okay, wow, we're here. We got to do this. Nothing against the virtual stuff. You know, I do that all the time. But it does relate differently.
Yeah, it does.
In a good way.
How do you stay motivated to continue to consistently create?
I just love it. I mean, I'd like to, I'm sure I could be analyzed and be some, you know, psychological answer, but I like doing it. I like what we're doing now, where we're exchanging ideas and information, and you're, you know, getting a wrinkle out of me that maybe I didn't know about myself.
Mm, I love that. I love that. Anything else that you want to share while we're sitting here?
Get your ticket for 2027. Yes. We're coming back next year stronger than ever. Do not delay.
I 100% agree. Even if you are a veteran or military supporter, you need to be in the room. The conversations are on a different level. We were talking about it last night about how we've gone to other podcast conferences, and it's like, yes, you connect with people, but the ones here, I mean, we've talked about AI, we talked about God, we talked about purpose, we talked about health issues, we talked about all amazing, a plethora of different things that you might not have at another professional event. So this is the best place to be.
Thank you so much for talking to me, Shay.
Thank you for being on my little hour here.
MilitaryCreatorCon.com.
Great XQ. Roger.